Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, September 11th. A date that is seared in many of our minds. We all know where we were some 20 years ago today when we heard about the attack on the Twin Towers. Today is known as Patriot Day in the United States, and we want to stop and remember those 2,996 people who were killed in the attacks. We also want to remember those who gave of themselves to try to save people in the towers, those who since then have been in our armed services and provided for our protection as a country, and for all who are afflicted by others. And so as we begin, I want to start with a prayer. Lord, thank you for creating all nations. We come to you with sorrow as we remember the tragic events that occurred on this day 20 years ago. We lift to you all of those who died and entrust them to your care and ask that you would watch over their families. Would you draw them close to you and not allow Satan to use their deaths as a barrier to faith in Jesus? We pray thanking you for those who courageously responded to provide in the midst of this great tragedy. Please, Lord, cover their painful memories and help them to be healed and strengthened by the power of the resurrection. We also pray, Lord, for ourselves as we process in our own mind's eye the ways that we take for granted, perhaps, our freedom. We take for granted the fact that there are men and women who are serving for our protection and have served. And Lord, we take for granted the freedom that we have in you. And so, Lord, we thank you for religious freedom that we have in the United States, the fact that we can broadcast the Bible online. And we just pray, Lord, that this day would be a reminder of your sustaining grace in the midst of suffering. Again, we just lift all those who are affected to your watch care and ask for a peace that passes all understanding, that you would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, and that you would strengthen them and empower them to live lives of faith, even when they cannot see clearly your plans and purposes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now turn to the Bible. Today we are in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we needed a theme verse for this project, it could be 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We want you, Lord, to use your Scripture in our lives so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Equip us, Lord, for your kingdom work today. Now let's move to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 110 of David, a psalm. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. And now a reading from Ezekiel 37, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. The title in my Bible says, "Reunion of Israel and Judah." Again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, take a piece of wood and carve on it these words. This represents Judah and its allied tribes. Then take another piece and carve these words on it. This represents Ephraim and the northern tribes of Israel. Now hold them together in your hand as if they were one piece of wood. When your people ask you what your actions mean, say to them, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will take Ephraim and the northern tribes and join them to Judah. I will make them one piece of wood in my hand." Then hold out the pieces of wood you have inscribed so the people can see them and give them this message from the sovereign Lord. I will gather the people of Israel from among the nations. I will bring them home to their own land from the places where they have been scattered. I will unify them into one nation on the mountains of Israel. One king will rule them all. No longer will they be divided into two nations or into two kingdoms. They will never again pollute themselves with their idols and vile images and rebellion, for I will save them from their sinful apostasy. I will cleanse them, then they will be truly my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be their king, and they will have only one shepherd. They will obey my regulations and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave my servant Jacob, the land where their ancestors lived. They and their children and their grandchildren after them will live there forever. generation after generation. And my servant David will be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant. I will give them their land and increase their numbers. I will put my temple among them forever. I will make my home among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And when my temple is among them forever, the nations will know that I am the Lord who makes Israel holy. In this passage, we see some prophecy, some foretelling of what is to come in the first coming of Christ and maybe even in the second coming of Christ. Did you catch some of the language where Ezekiel is hinting at the David who is to come? Did you put together that that was Jesus? Look at verse 24. My servant David will be their king, and they will have only one shepherd. Remember, just a few chapters back, we were discussing the fact that God would be the shepherd, that all of the priests or the pastors, the shepherds, had disappointed God. They had looked after their own interests, but there was one coming, God, who would care for his sheep, the good shepherd. And then we see in John that Jesus fulfills this prophetic message that he is the good shepherd. Also, we see here that the gospel undertones are in this passage. Look with me, if you have your Bible open, to the second part of 23. I will cleanse them. Then they will be truly my people, and I will be their God. There has to be a redemptive act. And we know that that redemptive act is in the cross. 26, and I will make a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant. We can be at peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so persevering in this book of Ezekiel makes me realize that all scripture is God-breathed, as we learned in 2 Timothy 3, and is useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank you, Father, for this day. Forgive us for the ways that we do not depend upon you. We do not do your work. We ask, Lord, that you would be our provider, our guide, that you would redirect us if we need to turn. We remember, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. You speak to your sheep, and we hear your voice, and through your word and through prayer, we can discern what you are telling us. And so help us, Lord, to be a people who are in your word and are receptive to your Holy Spirit. Bless my brothers and sisters, whatever may come today, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.